I'm Jessica.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Stephanie.
And you are listening to Pastor's Wives Tell All,
a podcast by pastor's wives for church leaders and anyone desiring to take a peek inside our glass house.
We are breaking down walls and crushing pastor's wives' stereotypes within the church.
We want pastor's wives and other ministry leaders to know that they are not alone in this. Plus, this is basically therapy for the three of us with a whole lot of dance parties. Hey friends, welcome back to Pastor's Wives Tell All. Today, we are excited to have Heather Creekmore back on the podcast again. Heather writes and speaks hope to thousands of women each week, inspiring them to stop comparing and start living. As the host of the internationally popular Compared to Who podcast, she has been featured on Fox News, HuffPost, Morning Dose, Church Leaders, and For Every Mom, along with dozens of other shows and podcasts. She was a contestant on Nailed It, the hit Netflix Bake Fails show. Heather and her Marine fighter pilot turned pastor husband, Eric, have four children and live in Austin, Texas. In this episode, we discuss body image and how we can help women in the church who struggle in this area. Many of us idolize body image without even realizing it, and Heather helps us recognize this temptation and face it head on. Now let's get to this important conversation.
Hey, Heather, welcome back. It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's so great to be with y'all again. So much fun.
Yes, it's been, oh my goodness, I think we're coming up on 3 years since you've been on the show, which is weird to say because you were one of the ones in the beginning on the show.
Wow.
It's crazy.
It is.
Yes, it is. And if anybody wants to go back and listen to that one just to, you know, kind of see the difference between last time versus this time, because I'm sure we have all changed a bit, right? You can go back, and listen to the episode titled Pastor's Wives Struggle with Comparison 2, and it was on March 1st, 2021. Sadly, for some reason back then in the beginning, our episode numbers did not show up, so I can't even tell them what episode number it is.
Go
go have fun looking for it in 2021. You got this. But since it's been a minute, I do want you to take a moment and just share with those who don't know who you are, like what you do, what you're up to lately, your family, just all the things.
Absolutely. Well, I am a pastor's wife, but that's not really where I started. So I actually got out of college and worked in politics and did a bunch of other random related things. And then somehow around age 30, married a Marine fighter pilot who on our second date said, "I think God's calling me into ministry. How would you feel about, you know, being a pastor's wife?" And the truth is, I knew from age 16 that I was called to be a pastor's wife. So when he said that, I was like, oh, goodness, here's the guy I'm going to marry. Oh, no, here we go. But we had several years of military life, which was really great. We had four kids and we planted a church. Ooh. And I was like, I need something to do that is not the church.
Because
it's not great on our marriage for us both to be team church plant. And so I started writing and really had felt a call to write and had a desire to write. And when I started writing, I thought I was going to write about funny things. I kind of like to add humor. And I thought, I'm going to write about marriage.
Us too.
I just couldn't get the words to work. And my husband was like, "You're speaking about body image issues. This is stuff you're talking about. Why don't you write about that?" And I was like, "No way. I don't want anyone to know like all the crazy in my head around body image. There's no way I'm going to write that." And then eventually I did. I gave in. And so I wrote a book about my body image struggle, and that released in 2017. And then I went on to write a book about comparison, which is what we talked about the last time we were together. Mm-hmm. And now I've just released another book that is on body image. It's a 40-day body image workbook. And I've got a book on aging also coming out in April. So I have gone from someone who didn't want to talk about body image to fully entrenched.
I know.
I talk about it all the time. So God has a good sense of humor.
Well, speaking of your book, so we know that you have written a lot of books and now everybody else does. Let's talk a little bit about the book that just came out. Yeah. And we are always looking for books that can help in the church and in ministry life. And so tell us a little bit about how this can be used within the church and how it can help people. Yeah. Give us all the details.
Yeah. Well, let's just be honest. Women in our churches are struggling with body image issues.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the data, I've done my own studies and just, you know, data that's out there. The numbers are upwards of 95%. So there is no chance that you are in a church where there are not women with body image issues. Mm-hmm. And I've interviewed pastors' wives who have told me that they've had women tell them that they felt too fat to come to church wearing a size 6 or size 8, right? Like these messages from culture are penetrating our pews.
Yeah.
And we have to have resources better than just saying, hey, remember, it's what's on the inside that counts. Yes. Hey, remember, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. So this workbook is really a chance to dig in to every angle of this issue. I talk about what culture is telling us, that we should be body positive, which on the surface sounds right, right? Like, why should we be body negative?
Right.
But there's more to body positivity than meets the eye. There's some semantics issues at play. So we dig into that. We dig into why even being body neutral isn't the best position for a Christian, right? Because God made our bodies good. Yeah. We dig into the relationship we have with food, which for most of us is pretty messed up, right? Yeah. After being in this culture for so long, what did God intend for us in terms of relating to food? And then just every angle that you can think of, from, you know, wrinkles and fat to, you know, how do I feel confident going out into this world in this body that God gave me? So every angle is covered. There's scripture included. It's a workbook. So it's not a blank journal. Some people have thought, oh, I didn't know there's going to be so many words. There's as many words as a regular book. There's something to read every day, but then there's also something to do to make it really practical. So within the church, you could use it with a small group or, you know, really any situation.
I think a workbook is great for just like a group of people in general. So I was actually just thinking, like, this could be good for small groups to do on their own outside of church and just work through, have people you come back to talk with and say, hey, this is my struggle this week, but this is what I learned this week. I think that's really good.
Yeah. Just and also, I just love being able to like work through something too, because I'm a visual learner as well. And like me doing something, I feel like it just sticks better when I'm writing something down. Yeah. So I love that it's like, you know, interactive.
Yeah.
So I think all of us as women, I mean, I know all of us as women have struggled with this at some point or another. But as pastor's wives, tell us specifically how you have struggled in this area over the years as a pastor's wife.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know if this is reality or like my own reality, right? Because, you know, sometimes our own histories, we think of things differently than they actually were.
Yeah.
But I remember I grew up in the church. And I remember seeing the pastor's wives at our churches as just these perfect people, right? Yeah, they looked perfect and they did everything perfect. And so that was kind of the model I had in my head. If I'm going to be a pastor's wife, it's going to have to look perfect. Mm-hmm. And so really, God got a hold of me. It was pretty much just a year or two into our church plant, right? So I am doing, we're having church in our home at one point, right? At a minimum, all the meetings are happening at our home if we've, you know, once we moved into the elementary school where we were meeting. So there's a lot of stuff happening at my house. And I feel this pressure that my house must be perfect all the time. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I have 4 children, 4 and under, around this same time period. Right? So keeping a perfect house is just ridiculous. But but what God showed me was the way I kept my house was very similar to the way I thought about my body, right? Mm. It was all about image. It was, you're going to come into my home and you're going to see, you know, perfection, except for if you like open a closet door, the bedroom door where I shoved everything, right? But the image I want you to come away with is that I'm perfect. Mm. And there was a lack of authenticity there. And that lack of authenticity was actually driving a wedge between me and the women in our congregation. Mm. Because I was trying to be perfect, trying to be someone that they would look up to. But my inability to be real with them separated us. Mm-hmm. And so a couple years in, God started working on me to like leave the dishes out, leave the laundry I was folding out, you know, not wipe off the counter, because real life was we had just eaten dinner 5 minutes before. Now, I'm pretty picky about bathrooms. Like, I think bathrooms should be clean. I think that's gross to invite people to use your bathroom if it's gross. And that kind of gradually and slowly translated to my body and myself and what I was wearing. And I stopped changing clothes 15 times before going to church on Sunday morning, right? So I started to gradually realize that I could be myself with this body, you know, in whatever shape or form it looked like from day to day, and that that would actually give me the ability to relate to these women in a genuine way that they craved and they needed.
I love it.
So as you're talking, I'm thinking about how, yes, like I'm hearing you from the pastor's wife point of view, but I feel like a lot of people think that if you are focusing on body image issues, that's more of a physical thing. That's not something we should be thinking about. That's not important. The way you look on the outside, we shouldn't be so focused on that or be thinking about that. But I do think there's a spiritual side to this. And so I'm curious to hear from you about why is it so important for church leaders to focus in on these issues? Like, what is the spiritual significance for us? Not just the, it's all about me and I'm going to focus on my body. Because I don't think that's what this is. But I think that's what some people think.
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting, Stephanie, because I've had people that have felt like they've been shamed in the church around this, right? The messages like your body is a temple, you know, be a good steward of your body, that has been translated to you should look like a magazine cover because that's what being a good steward of your body is. And so there's two, I think, angles at this.
Yeah.
Some women have been told it's not important. The women I work with primarily have felt a lot of pressure that it is important and you are failing. You are not doing a good enough job taking care of your body unless you look a certain way. And really what I found in my story, what God showed me, is that I had made my body image an idol. And that might sound kind of strange, right? But for me, I truly believed, and I was a Christian, right? Like I told you, I went to Christian schools. I went to Christian college. I knew I was fearfully and wonderfully made. Check, check, check. But for me, I really believed that like the peace and the joy and the rest and the happiness and the love, all those things that I craved, I thought that would come as soon as I got my body the way I wanted to get my body. And so I was on this constant journey. I mean, I had a master's degree in public policy, but I became a fitness instructor because I thought that that would help me meet my body goals better. And then that would give me that label, you know, that embroidery, the word instructor on my shirt would help me feel good about my body in a way that like nothing else could. Like I was chasing this nonstop, always on the next plan, always on the next program, always trying to get better, do better. And nothing satisfied. And so really, I was in my mid-30s when God was gracious enough to interrupt me with a Tim Keller sermon that my husband was blaring through our home. And at the time, I was a little annoyed. Like, come on, can't we listen to music? I'm trying to clean. Who is this guy? And I'm listening to Tim Keller talk about modern-day idolatry. And it startled me. And I really felt like the Holy Spirit whispered to me at that point, Heather, this is your problem. You have made your body image an idol. You have believed that these things that I promise you, like peace, joy, and rest, will come when you get your body to a certain size. But nothing has ever worked. This is not going to save you. This is not the kind of salvation you really need. And so now when I work with women, I find my story is pretty common, right? Like I think that's, you guys probably discovered this through the writing process too. It's like if you write about like your junk, people are like, oh yeah, that's my junk too. What I found is that a lot of women in our churches have made body image an idol without even recognizing that they have, right? Yeah. It's the sneakiest idol, I think, out there, right? Money is pretty obvious. It's obvious if you're greedy, right?
Yeah.
But if you're trying to look better, we call that looking healthier, being healthier. And that sounds like a good thing. So that couldn't possibly be an idol. And it gets really, really insidious. But I think the enemy is working in our churches, unfortunately, attacking women with this, telling women you can't serve, you're not equipped to do things in the church until you look like this. And it's a real detriment to the family of God, to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Hey, friend, we will get right back to our episode, but we want to take a moment and thank our patrons. You guys keep our podcast going.
If you are not a patron and you would like to consider donating to our podcast ministry, we would be so grateful, and we might even do a happy dance.
When you become a patron, you get perks like being the first to hear about special info and retreats. You get bonus episodes, monthly devotionals, lock screens, and more.
Plus, we have added a new $1 tier for those who believe in us and what we're doing, just because you love us.
So head on over to our show notes and click on the Patreon link to learn more. Now let's get back to our episode.
I'm thinking we as a society are kind of black and white. So we either go really far one direction or really far the other. So either we're like, oh, let's look homely. Nobody look at me. Let me cover up. Like, I'm not even going to focus on my body. I'm not going to look in the mirror. You know, we have that extremism. And then we have on the other side where we're so focused on the way we look and are we presentable and is our house presentable and all of that. Like you said, where I believe that a lot of times God is somewhere in the middle over here going, there's a better way. Right. And it's neither black nor white. It's right here in the gray, right here in the middle. So I always say I live my life in the gray because I'm always questioning everything that's too far this way or too far that way. So that's kind of what I'm hearing is that we need that balance, which I know that we're never going to find exact balance, perfect balance until we reach heaven. But in this case, it's somewhere in the middle for sure.
So I have a chapter in my new book that's actually called Living in the Grace. Instead of living in the gray, it's really about finding the grace, right? Like God gives us grace to eat good foods that are good for us and to exercise, right? But if we ignore that grace and make it all about changing my body and how can I look better and all about me, you know, we've gone to that extreme. So yeah, that's, I love that. That was kind of where I landed too.
I was also going to say while you were talking, like, I love that you are talking about this as idolatry, because I think, you know, as you're talking and as I'm thinking about my life and about people and church members, like, it truly, and just the world in general for believers, like, we spend more time taking care of our body than our spiritual body. Like, we literally we'll go out of our way to make sure we eat everything we're supposed to eat in a day, exercise and do all that, but we never pick up the scripture, you know? And so it's so incredibly like just a gut check to go, what is most important?
It
is most important to most people in our churches to what they look like instead of what their heart is.
Yeah. And, and Jessica, let me fill that out a little bit. So in my new book, I talk about it kind of like a false religion that we've adopted, right?
I agree.
Because I remember for myself, I would go to bed feeling guilty over the foods I ate or not exercising, but not over like sins that God actually cared about, right? Yes. Like my holiness was determined by closing the rings on my Apple Watch, right? My righteousness determined by if I ate the right foods. And so it does, it so subtly becomes this false religion that can completely envelop us.
That's convicting.
It's scary.
It's
scary. Because, Well, speaking of body image, in our church, in our churches, we have a lot of women and men that struggle with body image. And so with that, with those struggles, when they come across, you know, our lives to be able to talk with them and counsel them and encourage them, what are some of the truths that you have seen have really helped direct people back to Jesus and the truth?
Well, it all comes back to our identity issues, right? Yeah. I mean, everything goes back to where is my identity placed, right? And so I find it really helpful just to, like I said, be honest and authentic, not the, oh, you're struggling with that. Or, you know, like Stephanie mentioned, like the shame of don't worry about your body, right? Like that's not helpful at all. Yeah. Not that any of your listeners would ever do that or be that person. But I think it's really helpful just to remind women, you know what is most valuable about you is Jesus and that treasure inside you. And what has he created you to do? You know, God is not sitting in heaven like angry that I'm not modeling.
Right.
Because he didn't make my body to model. Right? Now, I spent like 20 years angry at him. He didn't make my body to model. Right. But he gave me these like short, stubby little fingers. And I can type like really fast, which is really helpful when you write books, right?
Yeah.
And so thinking about this reality that the way God made our bodies on purpose for his purpose gives us a clue as to what he created us for. Mm-hmm. And it takes the pressure off. Like he has a purpose for me, even with short legs and short fingers. He has something he wants me to do. And always, 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 I'm going to feel more alive when I'm doing what he's called me to do than I ever felt when I was wearing that size that I thought would make me happy. Yeah. It never did, but I can feel alive in him. And so encouraging women in our church and men too, what has God made you for? It's more than just looking good in a swimsuit, right? Like, that's not a calling. No, that's not a purpose, right? What has he made you for? Get after that. And you will be amazed at how, I don't know, there's that old hymn, the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, right? Like these things of earth, the way earth defines beauty, the way culture defines beauty is not the same as the way the word defines beauty.
Yeah, for sure.
Get after what he has for you and the things of earth will grow strangely dim.
It's good.
Heather, you have said so many things that I'm like, oh, I've never heard it framed that way. And yes, I hear you. I hear you, Lord. I think this is going to be so helpful. I know that this will be so helpful for so many women. So, and even men who listen to this,
let's not leave them out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They deal with it too. So Heather, tell our listeners where they can find you, where they can purchase your books, all of that fun stuff.
Yeah. So I'm at improvebodyimage.com. And all the things are there. All my books are everywhere books are sold. This new book is called The 40-Day Body Image Workbook. And it's on Amazon, Bethany House, Baker Books, like you guys. Everywhere books are sold. And I have coaching programs. I do offer really great discounts for pastors' wives because it is my heart that ministry wives get the help they need so that they can be equipped to pour into other women. So I have an online course and coaching program, and I give a really big discount for pastors' wives. So reach out to me. That's Heather at Compared2.me.
Hint, hint. All the pastors' wives listening. Go check it out. You get a deal.
You get a deal.
Well, we have come to the final three questions. And yes, you have answered these before, but a lot has changed in almost 3 years, I'm sure. So maybe your answers are a little bit different. We're going to find out. So if you could go back and give your pre-pastor's wife self one piece of advice, what would it be?
It would be trust the Lord. Isn't that so cliche? But oh goodness, just thinking about all the ways I stressed in every way as we went into ministry. Trust the Lord and trust your husband. That would be another one for me. I questioned every decision he made. I'm lowering my head in shame, but you know, I thought maybe I can do better.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's that vulnerability, that confession.
That's right.
What do you do for fun, either by yourself or with your spouse, to get your mind off of all things ministry?
Yeah, this is a tough question because we have four kids in the thick of it. So for fun is going to basketball games. Or whatever their sporting activities are. But no, when we really have the opportunity, we love to try new restaurants. That's my thing. I don't like to go to the same place. I like to try new places. So
love it.
Yeah.
And where are you at again? What city?
I'm in Austin.
Oh, so you have a lot of options.
So you need to tell all of our Austin friends, what is your favorite restaurant?
Oh, goodness. Oh, I don't even... So this is not like a foodie place, but Hula Hut is this place on the water that's just kind of fun Mexican. It's like Polynesian Mexican or whatever. Polynesian Mexican. So that was just, I don't know. We went there last week. That's probably top of mind. Not a foodie place again, but kind of a fun place.
It sounds like it's on the water. That's a plus. Mexican, there for it.
Queso. I mean,
yeah, if we're in Austin, we'll be there.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah.
100,000%.
Okay, your last and final question. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
If you could tell the church congregation one thing without reservation and have them really listen and respond, what would you say?
Oh, I would say, oh goodness, y'all. I would say, let's stop focusing so much on appearance. Mm. Let's really get after what God has called us to get after. Let's put aside this body image idol, and let's do what Scripture tells us to not assess people by the way they look, not choose members of our worship team by the way they look, not choose the women who are leading our Bible studies by the way they look. You know, let's put this aside and let's all get after becoming more spiritually beautiful, because that is going to shine through, right? Psalm 34:5, like the radiance of the Lord will shine through if we get after that.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Good. That was a great note to end on.
That was good. Good, so right good. There. This is going to be a good episode. I like that
voice. I like how you went right.
I don't know. I just got excited. I hope a lot of people listen to it.
Heather, you know we do weird voices. Do you got any weird voices you'd like to add?
I can put on a big old Southern accent whenever you need
there
one.
You go. Girl.
Yes, girl.
That's a rootin' tootin' good one right there.
I'm sorry.
Y'all come back now, you hear? Y'all come back now, you hear?
Come to Austin. Can I just, a lot of cool people live in Austin.
That is so true.
Yes.
We were in Texas last year around like January, right? January, February?
Yeah, we were in January.
Because y'all went to your agent's house, which I should have been at too, but that's a long story.
It's okay. We will meet you in person eventually.
We need a retreat, Texas ladies.
Austin specifically, apparently.
Austin specifically, so we can see Heather.
And all the other cool people.
I know. Well, Heather, we really enjoyed this episode and we just pray that this truly will change lives, and we believe that it can. And we know that through your testimony and what you're doing through your books and your coaching is really helping so many people. And we hope in 2024, you're our first. She's our first interview of 2024.
The first one we've actually interviewed.
If you are confused, because I see Stephanie's face. It's not really, but it's the first interview in real life.
That we're doing. That's so true, because today currently is January 3rd. Even though this is not coming out on January 3rd.
Right. So we pray for your 2024 that you get to do all the things that God has planned. And I know it's already been a busy couple of weeks for you. So, but thank you for taking the time to be on the episode with us.
Yes. My pleasure. Glad to be with y'all.
All right. Until next time.
Bye.
Okay, friends, if you have enjoyed this episode as much as we have, please help us spread the word on Facebook and Instagram.
If you didn't know yet, Instagram is where all the fun is at. From dance reels on Wednesdays to spiritual encouragement and laugh out loud posts in between, there is something for everyone.
And last but certainly not least, if you could take a moment right now to stop what you're doing and give us a rating and review, even subscribe to our podcast, this seriously helps other people find us who wouldn't be able to otherwise. Thank you so much for your love and support. We hope you'll tune in next week.